Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Ian Safar here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Adam Venkin from DVD, which you can hear today beginning at 10 o'clock. Excuse me, 11 o'clock. Sorry, I don't know why I got my hours mixed up, like I'm on Mountain Time. But I'm on Central Time.
It is 10 o'clock Mountain Time.
It is 10 o'clock Mountain Time. So if you're listening in Colorado, fire it up.
Or Colorado. 10 o'clock.
Don't do that again.
Colorado.
Don't do that again.
I'm just telling you.
Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good. Glad to know you listen to the product.
I do. I listen to the product. I just do it at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah,
not Mountain Time.
Robbie has the station on all day long. So, you know, just one glorious show bleeding into another. You know? Culminating with, you know, with the best of all.
Yeah, culminating with the Bill Polian Hour to end the program later in the day. So, look forward to that.
Rick Spielman.
You're shortchanging the Bill Polian Hour. It's actually the Bill Polian 3.5 hours.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I mean, it's he puts some work in with Bill Polian.
God, he has gotten
us to rip.
This
will make him mad all over.
I know, he's gotten us to rip poor Bill Polian.
You guys yesterday.
He was.
Did you hear that?
We talked about it.
He's very upset.
We talked about it. Robbie got mad at him. And by the way, Keith called me an ageist earlier.
We respect Bill Polian on the show.
I absolutely, like I said, him being 82 has nothing to do with this. Him being out of the league for 15 years, a little bit.
So, Adam, obviously, it's a big week on a lot of fronts. Got the draft coming up. Tennessee's just found a quarterback. And in the middle of it all, you have Andrew Brunette's future up in the air with the Nashville Predators. So, as we sit here today on Tuesday, April 22nd, what's your read on where things currently stand with Andrew Brunette and where this could be headed?
I'm not as confident as I was at the end of last week that he will be back. Robbie, you texted me your tweet with Jonathan Marchessault's answer to your question about Brunette's system and any adjustments that Marchessault would like to see Brunette make. And after I read it, my first thought was, oh boy. Then I heard it. Then I heard what Steven Stamkos said. Then I listened to what Andrew Brunette said. And, you know, it reads to me like a situation in which a coach does not know if he is coming back. With Brunette specifically, there were two things that struck me about his news conference. One was that answer to the question about his job security. And that final line about, you know, if I'm told otherwise, I'm confident that I can keep doing this somewhere else. The other thing was he did it by himself. And maybe I'm reading too much into that, but a year ago when the Predators were eliminated in the playoffs by the Canucks, Brunette and Barry Trotz did their season-ending news conference together. So the fact that he did it alone stood out to me. So I was never 100% certain that he was returning. I heard Jared yesterday say that, you know, he had guaranteed that Brunette was going to return. Now it's at around 55%. I mean, I think it's a 50-50 proposition. I certainly, you know, understand that the Predators, you know, are an organization that likes continuity. I mean, which organization does not like continuity? But the Predators on the loyalty scale are on one end of the spectrum. They are loyal to a fault. And firing Andrew Brunette after two seasons would be, is it two seasons or three seasons? It's two seasons, right?
Two.
Firing Brunette after two seasons would be an acknowledgement by Barry Trotz that he made a mistake. So that's something that you have to keep in mind as well. So all told, you know, if I thought heading into Friday that, yeah, he's probably going to come back. Now I'm like, I'm not so sure about that.
What did you make of in particular, the Marchessault comments?
I will certainly not criticize him for making those comments. I obviously have not had an opportunity to get to know Jonathan Marchessault, but what I know of him, as he said in that clip that Robbie played and we played on our show, he's never been one to bite his tongue. And you have to like that. you know, in our business, right? We can't criticize hockey players for being boring. And then when someone says something even remotely controversial, say, can he say that? He can't say that. You can't do that. You can't have it both ways. So you juxtapose what Marchessault said to what Steven Stamkos said when asked the same question. And Stamkos, being a longtime captain, he had a more captainly diplomatic response. I liken Marchessault's comment yesterday to being in a relationship, a new relationship, and your new partner constantly brings up their ex. Like, my ex used to do this. My ex used to do that. I'm like, well, we're in a relationship now. I don't want to hear about your ex. And that's what Marchessault did at the end when he was talking about Bruce Cassidy, who, of course, is the Golden Knights coach. So that's the sort of the vibe I got. I mean, I don't think anything he said was incorrect, but Marchessault, not being one to sugarcoat things, you know, said it in a way that captured people's attention. You know, Stamkos, again, he said similar things, but he said it in a way that is more fitting of someone who was a captain for, you know, more than a decade or however long it was with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I've got no problems with what Marchessault said, but the central question that Barry Trotz needs to answer is, does Andrew Brunette have the respect of his veteran players? Do those veteran players have faith in Brunette to make the necessary adjustments to get this team back on the right track? And when you hear two of your three marquee free agents seem to question the way that the coach does things, it has to make you think.
So let's say they get through this, and you know, whenever Barry Trotz has his press conference this week, he comes out there and says, we're keeping Andrew Brunette, he's going to be our coach next year. What's your selling point if you're Barry Trotz to the fan base for next season that this can turn around quickly?
That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly what that selling point would be. It's hard to sell the fact that your team finished in 30th place. It was the second worst season in franchise history by points percentage. Relative to expectations, they were the most disappointing team in the league. They underperformed their projected point total by 30 points. I believe their over-under point total at the start of the season was 98.5, and they finished with, 68?
Yep.
So they were, they missed the playoffs by, I think, 28 points behind the Blues, who had the second wild card spot. I mean, I don't know how you sell that. I think if I'm Barry Trotz, if you are attempting to sell that decision, you have to fall on the sword. You have to take almost all of the responsibility. You would have to say, look, I underestimated, and he had said things to this effect. He would have to say, I underestimated how long it was going to take for these legacy players to acclimate to our system. I made a mistake by thinking that Tommy Novak could be a second line center in the league, and I didn't address the center position enough. You know, he would have to take, I think, almost full responsibility for setting up Brunette to fail by the roster decisions he made. Outside of that, I'm not sure exactly how you would sell bringing Brunette back after this terrible season.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of, we know that you're not going to be able to do much with this roster, you know, right? I mean, with the veterans, I mean, we've talked about, is it possible to, like, move a Marchessault? Is there some kind of trade that we can't envision that could happen and really change the math? But for the most part, these guys are coming back, right? So I guess, like, if you're not changing coaches, then what is the adjustment other than just hoping a lot of guys have much better years next year than they had this year?
Yeah. Derek made an interesting analogy a few weeks ago when we were talking about this on our show. And he talked about, imagine if you are an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator and you have a scheme that's worked for you, and you go to a team and that scheme isn't working. And the head coach or the GM tells you, hey, man, we've got to tweak your system. We've got to tweak your scheme. And Derek said, if I'm that OC or I'm that DC, if I say to them, look, you hired me because you liked my scheme. And if you ask me to change my scheme so much that it's unrecognizable, why am I even here? Why am I even your offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator if you're making me change fundamentally who I am as a coach? And that's what I'm wondering about with Brunette. you know, it sounds like Brunette did make adjustments over the course of the season, but they clearly didn't work. So if I'm Brunette, I'm not saying that Brunette's going to quit or anything like that. But if I'm Brunette, I'm wondering, you know, if I have to make so many adjustments that the system that got me to this point is no longer functional, you know, what am I supposed to do? And that's something that I think that Barry Trotz has to wonder as well, because Trotz is culpable in this as well. And he signed those players to those contracts, and those players are probably going to be around longer than the coach. So I think that's what he has to weigh, is does he have faith in Brunette to make adjustments, but maintaining his identity as a coach, or do they need a fresh set of eyes? And we've already seen a lot of coaching changes around the league. I'm anticipating more. There are some interesting names out there. You know, is there a name out there that we aren't expecting to be available, that if they become available, that makes Trotz want to act? I mean, that's, you know, Rick Tocchet is an interesting situation in Vancouver. You know, the Canucks are not picking their team up. They have a team option for his contract. They said yesterday they're not picking it up, and they hope to renegotiate. But if Tocchet and the Canucks decide, hey, this isn't going to work, would Trotz say, I can get Rick Tocchet, for example? You know, that's something that we also have to keep in mind.
Hey, Lavi's out there. Old reunion.
You had a caller the other day who suggested they bring back Peter Laviolette and Phil Housley. And I texted Robbie and I said, that person should be banned from the program.
Wow.
Ryan
in Nashville? You're banned.
You know who else floated the possibility to me about bringing back Peter Laviolette if he owned the team? One Jared Stillman.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, I bet. I mean, think of all the how many more posters you could get autographed.
Adam, great stuff. Thank you for being with us today. We'll be listening at noon Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain. Got my times down, Pat.
Stop screwing people up. Listen at 11 o'clock.
There you go.
If you're in Nashville, listen at 11 o'clock.
9 Pacific, 6 Hawaii time.
Thank you, Adam.
Bye, guys.
Sorry about Duke.
Adam Vinken, our guest here on the program. A couple thoughts that Adam threw out there I want to react to. Plus, a situation that is brewing in the NFL. It could be interesting to see how this ends. We'll get into all that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores take on MTSU at Hawkins Field. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Also, make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. Appreciate Adam Vinken for being with us in the last segment. Going to be interesting to see what the Predators do here in the next day or two. We'll see if there's any decision made on the Andrew Brunette front by the time Barry Trotz hops up at the podium.
Vinken kind of on the same page with us. Some of the discourse is sort of, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What is going to happen here?
It's going to be interesting to see.
We're not manufacturing drama like the NFL wants
done
with the number one overall pick.
The Tocchet part is interesting. What if Tocchet gets away from Vancouver? Could Barry Trotz make a push for that? It'd be interesting to see how that situation ends up. You had Dan Bylsma, who has been the head coach of Seattle for 1 year, get fired yesterday. So we know what this league is. People get fired all the time in this league. So we'll see what happens on the Andrew Brunette front. Keep you updated on that. Joe, I want to get to this because there is a somewhat loose Nashville connection here that people have asked about, so let's address it. Michael Silver from The Athletic has put this out there as it relates to the San Francisco 49ers, talking about the offseason program beginning today, and there's uncertainty about who's going to be there. Brock Purdy's looking for a new contract. Fred Warner, the linebacker, is looking for a new contract. And George Kittle is looking for a new contract. And all those guys, it's, you know, there's a question as to whether or not it's going to happen. I feel like Purdy's going to get done. And Silver says that there's been progress toward Purdy that will pay him more than $50 million a year. Question is how much progress and does he show up today? Fred Warner and the 49ers have yet to have any substantive talks about a possible extension, according to Silver, but the veteran team leader is likely to report. George Kittle is heading into the final year of a 5-year, $75 million deal, and is much more of a long shot as he and the 49ers remain far apart in discussions about a new deal. So we've seen it in San Francisco. You know, Deebo Samuel got traded. Brandon Ayuk last year was on the doorstep of getting traded, and then he didn't. He gets the contract and immediately gets hurt. Yeah. You know, Kittle's 31. I think he turns 32 in October. So he's got 1 year left on the deal. I'm interested, like, how far does this go? Like, if San Francisco is not interested in extending him, does it get to the point where he tries to force his way out? And, of course, Joe, people have started talking about that around the league.
Darn right.
We know that he lives here, and he goes to, like, basically every Predators game when he's in his offseason. So now the question has come up. Could the Titans make a push for George Kittle?
I mean, if
your thoughts.
If the Preds wouldn't have sucked this year and they were in the playoffs right now, he'd be going to all the playoff games, and it'd be even more likely. He'd be like, I can't leave.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have any hockey games to go to anymore. Could this be Delanie Walker part two?
Well, I bring this up not necessarily specifically for Kittle, even though that's what it would be in this situation. But, look, I've been talking about it for a couple – like they got to find tight end. Like, you know, at some point they're going to have to find – a tight end that is better than Chigakonkwo and Josh Whiley. And, you know, no disrespect to those guys. They are serviceable NFL players, but neither one of those guys are anything close to high-level tight ends in the National Football League. Now, again, based on where the Titans are right now, I don't know that I've got any interest whatsoever in, like, trading for George Kittle. Like, I'm not giving up assets to go get George Kittle when he's 31 years old and will be 32 in October. He can still play. Like, he's still a heck of a combo tight end when it comes to the blocking and receiving part.
Oh, yeah. When he's healthy, yeah, and he's out there, he's still a tremendous football player.
I mean, you're looking for how can you help your quarterback as quickly as possible. Like, that needs to be – if you're drafting Cam Ward, which it looks like they are, how do you get him help as soon as possible is probably something I'd be looking at. If I'm Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and the Titans decision makers. Again, I don't love the idea of the Kittle part of this specifically just because of his age. He has been, you know, there have been some injuries that he's dealt with. And frankly, he's got a year left on his contract, and I'm not all that interested in trading for him. So forget the Kittle part of it specifically right now. We were just asked about it, so I figured I'd bring it up. But they need to go find a tight end at some point here to help their quarterback.
They do. And yeah, look. Maybe, you know, things don't work out, and he wants to, you know, hit, and he ends up on the market in a year. You know, that might be, and then again, who knows what we'll be talking about with the Titans. Are we talking about, wow, actually, they're not that far from at least being, you know, a decent team, a playoff team, whatever. You know, they could. I mean, it's kind of a running joke on the whole. Well, this guy has a house here, and this guy is building here. Like, everybody has a house here, but he actually,
he's
a Nashvillian.
Yeah,
he's a legit Nashvillian. So, I actually think if he thought, you know, if you're him, and it's like, wow, that Cam Ward had a heck of a rookie year. He looks promising, and you know, there's actually some hope there with that franchise, and maybe the help for Cam Ward, at least a year, could be in the form of George Kittle. But to your point, before then, they've got to bolster that room for sure.
It's going to be interesting. Like, San Francisco, you know, Deebo Samuel's gotten away from him. Ayuk, we'll see what he looks like this year coming off the injury that he had. But, I mean, they're about to give Brock Purdy a lot of money. And one of the things that's been – like, I think Purdy is a good player, independent of everything he's got. But – I mean, you can't deny that for the majority of his career to this point, he has had an unbelievable situation around him. He's had a fantastic offensive line. He's had an unbelievable running game with Christian McCaffrey being healthy. Ayuk, Samuel, George Kittle. I mean, the situation for him, Kyle Shanahan calling plays, the situation has been great. So, like, if this continues to deteriorate for him around him the way it has over the last year, I'm very interested to see what type of quarterback he is.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out just how good he is. Wes in Clarksville says, our tight end problem has been because of the offensive line. Offensive line can't block the grass, so tight end has to be blocker. Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a little deeper than that.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
I don't think the Chig is on the doorstep of becoming an all-pro now if they fix their offensive line.
Yeah, I don't
line.
Think Chig's issue is that he's held in too often on third down. I mean, again, that did – The one change in season where you definitely saw production nosedive was Jonnu Smith when Taylor Lewan had his ACL in 2020. But, yeah, I think Chig's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
But yeah, can you do better than that? You got to have more depth regardless.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're going to hear from the Titans today in their pre-draft press conference. What will they say? Will Cam Ward be brought up by name? Will they avoid him like the plague? It'll be interesting to see what happens there. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 7:45. Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30 talking all things NFL draft as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham at First Horizon Park. Pre-game beginning at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30. We'll get into all things NFL draft with him. So looking forward to that. The Titans are, according to the countdown, Joe, 59 hours and 26 minutes and 53 seconds away from being on the clock as the NFL draft begins on Thursday. So we're getting closer by the second. The pre-draft press conference with Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and Brian Callahan will be at 1 o'clock today here in Nashville. So the pre-draft press conference with those three members of the Tennessee Titans is today. Joe, as we sit here, just hours away from the pre-draft press conference, what do you think we're going to learn today? Will they avoid talking about Cam Ward directly? Will they even bring his name up? Will they act like he doesn't exist? What are our expectations for what we'll learn today?
I have no idea.
Nice. Thank
you.
Very nice.
It was so nice that you muted myself in your response. Yeah, I don't know. We've had some interesting ones of these. We did have the John Robinson. I don't anticipate trading A.J. Brown, right? Wasn't that the way he phrased it? Or was it even stronger than that? He said something along those lines.
I think that was right.
I don't anticipate
that. Yes. I can't remember if that was him or Vrabel who said that precisely.
I think it was John. Yeah, I think it was Robinson. So, you know, obviously that was a very eventful draft week.
Yep.
draft lead up and draft night. Will they talk specifically? Well, I mean, I think you can ask him about Cam Ward. They're not going to answer directly. If anybody asks a question, have you decided to draft Cam Ward? Or I don't think they'll give that answer. But certainly I think that more talk of Cam Ward is on the table, right?
I would assume they are. I mean, look, you know, somebody just sent this in on the text line. I saw this floating out there earlier. Not that this is some huge surprise, but like Ian Rappaport put it out this morning, and he said, after months of speculation, the consensus around the league is the Titans will stay at number one and pick rather than trade. Sources say, no surprise, decision made. There was real trade interest, but as one team said, quote, they never opened the door. All eyes on Cam Ward. So, I mean, that's basically a Rappaport saying, like, they're drafting Cam Ward, the decision's made,
right,
and they've never really seriously considered listening to trade offers at that point.
See,
so
yeah. But I still would like to know if a great trade – did they ever get any great ones?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. But, like
– there's a question for today.
My expectation is, like, Brinker and Borgon, they're still going to get up there today. Like, well, you know. We'll see what happens at number one overall, and not, you know, it's a TV show. I've talked about that many times. They're not just going to come out there and say that Cam Ward is the pick, but, I mean, the reporting around all of it right now is Cam Ward is the pick and that it's final, and that's what it is on Thursday.
So I think definitely the questions around helping a rookie quarterback, a plan for a rookie quarterback, the playing plan for the rookie quarterback, I mean, all these things. Look, all these questions are going to get asked again Thursday after they pick Cam Ward, and it's like, okay, now that you have Cam, but I mean, so, you know, the strategy, I'm interested to hear what they think about the whole idea that the world is flat from about mid-first round to mid-third round, you know? And do they evaluate it that way? And if so, how much of a premium do they put on trying to get another pick in the – I mean, they've already said it. Brinker has said that they want the X amount of, you know, top 100 picks. This seems like a great year to get another one or two if you can possibly do it. Also, interested to – I think a Snead question's worthwhile today.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just sort of where are you guys with that? You know, where even just where is he with his health, by the way?
I would love to know, and I don't know if they would even answer this or not, but like if all things are equal, let's say you have the same evaluation of a receiver and an edge rusher, and you've got them rated exactly the same, where would you go? Like would you lean toward, all right, let's bring in the receiver and help our quarterback that we're drafting? Or do you look at your defense and say, I have no clue at the moment who's rushing the passer. Let's go do that. Let's go get that guy. I would love to know what their answer to that is. Are you – would you, if they're rated exactly the same, which rarely happens, but if they are, which way are you going, receiver or edge rusher?
That's a very good question. Yeah, I would like to know that answer too. I think a lot of people would assume, well, you're drafting a QB who doesn't have many good receivers, doesn't have many receivers at all. It's obviously got to be the receiver, right? But you could still make the case that an actual defense also does help a quarterback. It helps.
That'd be nice
a lot.
The defense get off the field every now and then. Yeah. Give the ball to the quarterback.
Yeah. No, that helps. So I would guess that the answer, like I said, if it's actually like they're, you know, they're basically equal in your eyes as overall prospects, I would think that the receiver would win out, but maybe not. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, to put it shortly, I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot today from the Titans. Like, this is a situation where they're going to get up there. Like, I saw Brian Gutekunst get up there yesterday from the Packers. He's their GM. And he talked for, I don't know, probably like 15 minutes and said, I think nothing throughout the whole thing. Like, it's a skill. Like, some of these general managers have a skill where they just get up there and it's just word salad that eventually ends up not really having anything of substance to it whatsoever.
Yeah. So I don't know that – I assume that these pressers are part of the league-mandated press availabilities.
I would assume so.
Yeah, probably some of the least favorite of these guys, because it's just like, please let us get in here, do our stuff, you know, throw out a little misinformation through back channels, and, you know, then we'll talk to you after we make our picks.
Yeah. Well, look, one thing that is interesting is, you know, Brinker got up there a few months ago and talked about how important draft picks were. We got to get all the draft picks we can get, and we want, you know, a certain amount of top 100 picks, and we'd like to get all these draft picks. Well, we know they're not doing that in one. Like, you're not trading back and getting picks that way.
That'd be the way.
35.
Be a good way.
I still, like, I know that Titans fans just assume that you can trade back at 35. It really depends on who's there. Like, somebody's got to, you got to have a trade partner and somebody willing to come up and make that move. So you may be forced to pick at 35. And are you okay with sitting around, basically, from pick 35 to pick 103? In a draft where apparently you could find a lot of the same type quality of players right in those picks, like right between those picks. So that part of it's going to be really interesting. Deep down, I think they probably would like to trade back and pick up an extra pick there. But will they be able to do it is a totally different question.
Yeah. To me, the best bet is, again, there's always whoever, you know, whatever, a Burden or somebody, but – I mean, the best bet is somebody loves Tyler Shuck or whatever and thinks that they need to get there to get him. I mean, something like that. Yeah, it's certainly no guarantee. And if everybody feels the same way about this draft and the overall talent in it, then that makes it harder to trade back probably. C from Franklin, dead on here, says, talking about Cam Ward is officially boring. Let's talk about Cam Scadaboo. He will be a Titans legend.
Your boy.
I'm with you, C. If they can get in the third round, man. You know, I mean, realistically,
you want to take him at 35?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm here for taking him at one, but realistically, they can get in the third round. And again, I understand if they were to actually take a running back there with their third pick in the draft, it'd be like, of all the things you
need,
I
think PK might.
Oh, he would absolutely lose his bleep, but. People melted down when they picked Derrick Henry, I would just like to point out. They had just made the trade for DeMarco. They did. And you're like, what the hell are you doing drafting Derrick Henry? I mean, I'll raise my hand. I was a little bit puzzled by it. There's probably a Tennessean column you could find from them where I was like, that's a weird one. But gosh, it worked out okay, didn't it?
The long line of Titans Oilers running backs from Earl Campbell to Eddie George, Chris Johnson to Derrick Henry.
To Cam Scataboo.
That's
right.
The next one.
Hey, I'm telling you, man. Dude is going to be an absolute beast in this league for somebody.
Devin from Dover saying, what do you guys think about Dante Thornton out of Tennessee? Look, as somebody who watched a lot of Dante Thornton, there's a lot about him that's tantalizing, right? Like the size and the speed combo, you just don't find a whole lot. The guy cannot stay healthy, and like he barely caught the football in college. That's the weird thing to me. So, I mean, look, is it impossible for him to go to the league and figure things out and stay healthy and with the athleticism that he's got be an impact player? No, it's not impossible. I would be very hesitant on that. That's just
very. Me too. Very. I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of Dante Thornton. Do you guys think James Pierce goes in the first round?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
I tell you exactly where he's going. He's going 32 to Philadelphia. Write it down.
The all SEC defense.
That's where he's going.
Of undervalued players. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was Brugler's mock had him going like 55 or something like
There's
that.
There's no way.
Like or 52. I can't believe it either.
32. That's where he's going. Philadelphia. Print the jersey. He's going to be the next member of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man. Yeah, so they'll get him, and the Chiefs will get who? They'll get, like, Luther Burden.
Yeah, the Chiefs will get Burden, and that'll be fun.
All fair.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, is coming up next. We'll have Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic, NFL draft expert, coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
So when I hear Joe Rexrode act like, why do we have to hear Bill Polian? We need to stop running Bill Polian cuts.
Bill Polian!
Just ask yourself this question. Who knows more about football, you or Bill Polian? Who knows more about the Force, you or Master Yoda?
Luke, I am your father.
Well, Jerry Rice didn't run this.
You settle for Joey Aguilar. Aguiar.
Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Yep.
We're going to get this done.
Iamaliava.
We're going to be okay. Thank you. Yep. Iamaliava. Aguiar.
Aguilar.
Dude. Okay.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every day of the week. Is this the Blink 182 cover, the Journey song? That's so
it
awesome.
It sure is, yeah.
Oh, we ought to just let this go.
Oh, good. Let's listen to Blink 182 also talk about a place that doesn't exist, South Detroit.
There's not a south part of Detroit?
Well, no, I mean, that's called
no.
It's called
nowhere. There's no South Detroit anywhere?
Well, no, but no. No one says South Detroit. It's downriver. So, okay. Whatever. It's all fine. Right. It's fine. You know,
in a van down by the river.
South does not exist in Michigan.
But you know what I mean. Like,
such thing.
Do we say South Nashville?
Yes. Some people do. Live in South Nashville.
Do we say West Nashville?
Yes.
Do we say West End?
Yeah. East Nashville, West Nashville.
You know what I mean.
I'm just saying. We'd say those things.
I've never heard anybody say West Nashville.
Really?
No. The West.
West
you've
been around
right?
here long enough.
Well, I mean, I've been around here a decade, which means I'm basically born of the earth here.
That's true.
You know. So thanks for bringing up Stilly. I do also just a quick add on to that whole thing. Again, we respect Bill Polian.
We do. Okay? I feel like we need to make that clear.
Rick Spielman. And Thomas Dimitroff, and who else are still these guys? Michael Lombardi,
yep.
Who now is Belichick's GM, who was I don't know, guys, that plane from Green Bay. He's a GM. He used to be a GM. You know, he doesn't know about the plane from Green Bay? Yeah. Why didn't he know about the plane from Green Bay? Yes. Yes, that makes him an expert on potential hijinks in a random plane in November.
Underutilized word, hijinks.
Thanks.
Nice.
But another point I would like to make on that whole thing is, I think there is a fair point that Jared makes there about people saying, well, these guys are idiots and, you know, they've been GMs in the league. Also, when you do what we do, sit here and gas bag on the radio, and then you're like, you got people in NFL organizations who have spent their entire lives playing high school football, playing college football, playing pro football, being an NFL scout, being an NFL front office, and you say they're idiots who don't know ball, maybe you need to have a little bit of self-awareness. Huh? Can we try that? This wasn't even supposed to be what I was talking about today. I forgot now. Oh, yeah. I got to rip Nico a little bit more. I know that we've talked about Nico, okay? I mean, we've talked about Nico a lot. And for the most part, you know, I've been pretty, I think, sympathetic to Nico. But let me say, man, Nico, and I'm talking about Nico Harrison, said yesterday that, yeah, I knew that the Mavs fans liked him. I didn't know quite how much they liked him until this trade.
I didn't know that Luka was popular here.
Like, I've kind of just watched this from afar as everybody has just trashed this dude. And, look, he's got a chance here to be known. We'll see. I mean, Luka's got a – I understand he's a generate. You know, he's a great player. He's a franchise player for the Lakers moving forward. The guy wins championships. Like, you got to win championships, and also it's got to go poorly for the Mavs. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. There, you know, the Houston Texans at one point looked absolutely decrepit, and the Browns were getting, oh, they got him, they got Deshaun, and we saw, like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But right now, I got to agree with Charles Barkley last night. Charles Barkley at, I think it was halftime of the Pistons Knicks game, or maybe it was after the – he's like, you know, I'm friends with Nico. Okay, I got a lot of love for him. Please don't do any more press conferences. Stop doing press conferences.
Don't speak.
Yeah, this is the exact quote. Quote: I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. End quote.
That's good.
No, that's good.
That's good.
Someone compared it to so someone on X compared it to. Yeah, we stopped serving chicken at KFC. I knew that that our customers like chicken. I just didn't know how much they
didn't
like
quite
chicken.
Know how important that
How about
was.
Some of these nice watery mashed potatoes? Poor Nico.
Yeah, biscuits there are pretty good. No free ads. You're getting cooked on the text line right now.
I am.
By the way,
I'm getting
absolutely
cooked.
Roasted.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Got Jacob, born in Nashville. West End and West Nashville, two completely different places.
That's true.
And somebody else says, okay. Dude, who right. doesn't call it West Nashville? Everyone I know calls it that and has for years. Joe, are you drunk? There is definitely a West Nashville.
Okay. All right. I apologize. That's fine. It's fair. It's totally fair. But I will tell you what I do know. There is no freaking South Detroit. No one has ever called any place in the world South Detroit other than Journey in this 1981 song, which is a pretty good song. But
they were born
it's
and raised there.
They were born and raised in that place. Born and raised in South Detroit. Are you trying to rob them of what they say?
Journey's from, like, Cali.
I'm just saying.
Just telling you what song says.
That's what they say in the song.
Oh, she's just a city girl born in, or no.
City
just
boy.
Just a city born and raised in South Detroit.
Born and raised.
It's just not a place. Like, I don't know. I guess maybe some cities, if you tell me, because I definitely hear North Nashville and East Nashville. I haven't personally heard a lot of people say South Nashville or West Nashville.
You're getting cooked.
That's fine. Cook me. It's fair. But I'm telling you, and I know this, there is not a South Detroit. They don't. No one calls anything South Detroit. It's downriver. I'm sorry. Journey's wrong.
What about Blink-182? Because I got to tell you, that's a good cover of Journey they did there.
They suck. Why would you even – why do they cover that song?
Because it's good.
Yeah, it's a good song. If you're going to cover a song, don't make it suck.
It didn't. That was a banger.
Oh, it's not.
I forgot we had access to that. Ian came out with the gloves off. It was good.
Just terrible. Boy, these people are cooking me. It's fine. That's fair.
Yeah, you're getting smoked.
I will take it. I will take it. However, I defy anybody to tell me that there's a South Detroit. Okay? So we can kind of agree to – you know, sometimes you just got to retreat to your corners and stick with what you know.
Maddie says, you have unleashed the East and West Nashville rivalry. We'll soon be approaching each other, snapping in the streets out there. There you go.
So West – okay, so there's West End. So
West End is a street.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess people –
that's like the Vandy area.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
West Nashville, you know, Belmede,
yeah.
Bellevue.
Yeah. I mean, I know those places. I've never said
– West Nashville.
Where do you, Glennon, where do you live? Bellevue. Oh, West Nashville. Yeah. I've never heard him say that. I've never heard anybody say that. But I believe you all.
Joe's getting smoked on the text line. Keep it coming. 615-737-1025.
Let's focus on Stilly's dumb stuff here.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Rex Roach geography. More of your thoughts on the NFL draft as well. Robbie and Rex Roach, 1025, 1063, the game.
While you're living in a van down by